Thank you, Anna Lee and Victory. Those beautiful songs. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us all to be here. And let's just trust the Lord in that to let us hear that which we need to hear, spiritually speaking, and listen closely as the Lord may speak to us. We come to worship Him, and He's got a lot more to say to us than we have to Him. So let's listen as He speaks to us. Dr. Mike Bagwell has been with us all week since Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. Tonight will be the last night, so let's take advantage of it by listening to every word as He comes and proclaims what thus saith the Word of God. We're so delighted that he and Miss Debbie are with us this week. They'll be leaving tomorrow back to Georgia. Another church next week and the next week, all year long. And we're blessed, we're fortunate to have him. Dr. Bagwell, mind the Lord.
Love you well. Our scripture is in Psalm 82. It is a short passage of scripture, only has 8 verses. And as we've been doing each service, let me read to you the entire text, Psalm 82. Y'all want to stand while I read it one last time? God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor, fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, verses 6, 7, and 8, tonight's meditation. I have said, this is God talking, I have said, ye are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men. Ye shall fall like one of the princes. Then it ends with a prayer. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for standing. Usually on the last night of any week of revival, I try to take a little survey for those of you who maybe been here 2 or 3 services anyway, and get you to tell me which part of that psalm, which verse, which sermon impacted you the most. I may say something else about that at the end of the service. I have a way of doing it that takes no time whatsoever. But tonight, those last 3 verses, that's quite a task. We had one whole night, we dealt with one verse. In fact, 3 nights, services like that. Now, 3 verses in one sitting. Let's see what God will give us this evening. Verse 6. I have said, ye are gods. Now, there's no doubt that's the Lord speaking. I have said. How do you know it's the Lord? Verse 1. God standeth in the congregation. And so, God, as I understand this, God has called a meeting, a conclave, an assembly. The word in verse 1, a congregation. And there have gathered around Him, I don't know what word to use, angels. At least that, angels, and they are powerful angels. They're almost like, and God doesn't need it, but He chooses it. By the way, God doesn't need me, but He chose to save me. Hallelujah. He doesn't need them. He doesn't have to have them. But He enjoys the congregation of these mighty ones, these angelic creatures. And so He says to them, I have said, ye are gods. and all of you are children of the Most High. It is so interesting how Paul handles this aspect of the gods of this world. The first thing Paul says, he says, all that God is a piece of wood, or carved stone, or some precious metal of some sort. And that God, I'm going to need a name there, that God is nothing to me, because Paul knew, hope I get an amen, there's only one real God. Then Paul adds to that, but he said, behind those gods, behind those idols, often stands a demon presence. And that's what is in view. God says, ye are gods. Notice he didn't say half of you. No. In verse 6, he didn't say half of all of you are children of the Most High. He is talking to this congregation of the gods. Now, the interesting thing about this verse, and it's going to be enjoyable to talk about it in a few minutes, Jesus lifts this verse out of Psalm 82, and he applies it one day as he is confronting the Pharisees. Ye are gods. I'd like to do this. And if we could, let's go to John chapter 10, verse 34. They'll put it on the screen for us. John chapter 10, verse 34. I want to show you the way Jesus handled that verse. That's the way I want to handle it. Because the Lord is the perfect exegete, expositor of His Word. John chapter 10 and verse number 34. Let me give you a little bit of context. There it is on the screen, or you can look it up in your Bible. This is the interview where the Pharisees have picked up stones to kill, to stone our Lord. This is what Jesus said that got them so upset. I hope I hear an amen after the Lord's statement here. I and my Father are one. Does anybody believe that? I and my Father are one. They got tore up at Him. They said, we're going to stone you. We're going to kill you. We're going to get you one way or another because you have made yourself equal with God. And that's what he did. I and my Father are one. You have made yourself equal with God. They want him dead because Jesus said, I am God. I and my Father are one. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? They're sticklers for the law. Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Gary, Brother Gary, that's exactly what we just read. Jesus is quoting Psalm 82, verse 8. Ye are gods. Now, if y'all will, go to the next verse, John 10, verse number 35. I know people are watching online and they want to show the speaker some too, but look. Jesus is still talking. If he called them gods, that's the Father. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus just said, my Father called them judges, gods. He called those rulers gods. This is a little g. And then that conclave, ye are gods that have gathered around. If that crowd's gods, don't you get upset at me if I say I am God. Because I'm going to need a name. Jesus is a whole. Jesus is very God, a very God. Jesus is not God with a little g. Jesus is God with a big g. See, he turns their own scripture on that. You upset at me, gonna kill me, because I said I'm God? Why, Scripture calls some of you gods. Your judges are gods. These angels are gods. I think that's a brilliant stroke of rebuttal to their false teaching. That's how Jesus handles this verse. Y'all, put that last verse back up again. There are two interesting facets. If he called them gods, listen to this, unto whom the word of God came. Interesting choice of words. Unto whom the word of God came. Let me tell y'all how that usually goes. Dozens and dozens. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. Here, unto whom the word of God came. I ran a word search. They call it a string search. Unto whom the word of God came. Only four times. Only four times in the whole New Testament. We're in Greek. In the whole New... No. I ran the search in English. Only four times in the whole Bible. To whom the word of God came. Let me share with you the results. Once, it was a man named Shemaiah. He's a prophet. Israel was about to go to civil war. God raised up Shemaiah. He went to King Rehoboam and said, don't do it. Don't do it. You'll be risking God's wrath. I'll need an amen. God doesn't want His people fighting each other. Don't you go to civil war. A prophet named Shemaiah. The second one is a prophet named Nathan. Nathan. And in this verse, Nathan is saying to David, now I know you want to build God's house, and it looks to me like God ought to let you do it, but God said, you can't, you've been a man of war. You can't build God's house, but your son will... The preacher named Nathan. And the third time, the word of God came unto, it's John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Out there preaching and by... Three times, and then here, three times to preachers, to so-called men of God. And Jesus looks at this crowd and says, you're getting mad at me because I said I'm God? You're a preacher. They're not the best preachers in the world. They're false preachers inside. You're a preacher and the word of God has come to you. Now I said all that to say this. Y'all just keep that verse there just a second. And I don't know exactly how to put it. If God, in His mercy, and if He brought His word to Shemaiah, He brought His word to Nathan, He brought His word to John the Baptist, and unto whom the word of God came, then God's, I call them gods. I call you gods to whom the word of God came. Brother David, Gentry, it's not just the judges that are called gods. Now, by God's high authority, tremendous power in the family of God and in the things of God, it's not just judges. It's not just rulers, judicial, executive. Now it's preachers. Preachers are elevated in God's eye. Does anybody here believe the preacher is worthy? I'll use Paul's term, 1 Timothy 5, worthy, I need an amen, of double honor. It's preachers as well that are being considered in this passage. And the Scripture cannot be broken. I want you to notice the way he's linking preachers. To whom the word of God came, Shemaiah, Nathan, John the Baptist, this crowd here. The Scripture cannot be broken. I'm going to give you that word broken. It is the Greek verb luo. It is spelled L-U-O. Luo initially means this. To loosen. John the Baptist. Jesus wants me to baptize him. I'm not worthy to bow down and unlatch, loosen his shoe. It's that verb, luo. Lazarus, come forth.
Bless his heart, he's all bound up. Great, can you see him trying to waddle out of that grave? And Jesus said, loose him, luo, and let him go. It normally means to loosen. But one time in the life of Paul the Apostle, he's on a boat. There is a great storm, and the waves are hitting the boat violently. And it says, and the boat was broken. It was broken apart. That's that verb, luo, as well. And it can mean broken. Let me tell you something we better never do with the Word of God. We better never untie it. I'm going to need an amen. We better never loosen its impact on our lives. But I can do better, I think. Let me tell you something we better never do with the Word of God. We better never let the waves, the storms of this life, the battles that arise, we better never let them break our standard, our conviction that the Word of God is inspired and is inerrant. Hallelujah. Something here that I think is worthy of our consideration. And I'll say this to everybody at Fletcher First Baptist Church. I've already told you I think you're a unique, and I mean that in a precious way, fellowship. I believe something's going on here. You amen, and if you agree, I believe God's Word is held in high honor in this place. Tried to do it in my little part, and these hold it in high honor. That the Word of God may be glorified. And that the Word of God might not be loosened, broken. That the Word of God might not be violated or disobeyed. Don't let anything move you from your foundation, from your moorings in the Word of God. I'm going to do something, preacher, and if you want to rebuke me afterward, I'll be meek and I'll take it. I'm going to call a name. I'm not going to call it as better than thou. I'm not going to call it in bitterness or vindictive judgment. In fact, my heart's breaking over it. Y'all know this. Dr. Charles Stanley recently went home to be with the Lord. My, what a ministry God gave him. But the Bible, do you agree with Dr. Stanley on everything? I didn't say that. I still use my King James Bible. And he chose to go another way. But that doesn't mean he's not God's man. That doesn't mean he hadn't done a lot of good. Praise God. Hope I hear an amen. No, I'm not a compromiser. But I thank God for that man. His son. Son. Name is Andy Stanley. If I were to see him, I'd hug his neck, preacher. I love him. Pastor's one of the biggest churches in the Atlanta area. I imagine he'll preach with several campuses. I wouldn't be surprised he'll preach to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 every Sunday. But Andy Stanley just made a change in his ministry. Stood up before his congregation. Actually went to Dallas Theological Seminary and said it too. And they let him. And he said this, I no longer pin my faith on this old book right here. He said, that's not the source of our faith. That's not the backbone of Christianity. Could I put a little editorial in there? He's wrong. Follow. He said, I now pin my faith on an event, not a book, on an event, that being the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds real good. But could I make an announcement? How do I know about the resurrection of Jesus? I would have never known about it had it not been for that book right there. I now pin my faith on an event, not on the Word of God. He has come to the place that he believes this Bible There's mistakes and errors. You can't, if you put your faith on that, you're going to get tripped. And here's how it came about. Which I didn't mean to spend this long on it. Here's how it came about. Andy Stanley was listening to a man lecture named Sam Harris. That's a name I shouldn't use. Sam Harris. He's an atheist. He's an intellectual. He's a professor at a university in the Midwest. And he wrote a book and has a series of lectures. Letters to an American Christian. Letters to an American Christian. And he takes every aspect of the Bible he can and tears it to shreds. Tries to show how it's full of errors. It's full of mistakes. Tries to show how it's archaic. And Andy Stanley heard those lectures. Made up his mind. The Word of God was indefensible now. So he'll lay it aside. He'll just hang on to the resurrection of our Savior. And I know our Savior's a resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. But can I go back to something I just said? I wouldn't know it without the Bible. I said all that to say this. Don't you let Sam Harris, don't you let some university professor, don't you let some slick-tongued modernist in a pulpit somewhere, don't you let them shake your faith in the Word of an Almighty God, that the Scripture be not broken, that the Scripture be not loose, that the Scripture be not weakened. I'm standing on the Word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Can I say something? I'm not ashamed of my Bible. I want to say something else. I do not believe there's a mistake in our Bible. You say, preacher, they have found some. They're the ones that are wrong. There's something they hadn't got down yet. I believe the Word of God is accurate. I believe the Word of God, here's the Word of God, is inerrant. That means it doesn't have a mistake. I believe God wrote every word in that book. That's the accent Jesus put on it. Not just the judges. Not just the presidents and the prime ministers. It's the preachers. It's the preachers. They're the ones that... And I'm going to say something, and you've heard it before, probably numerous times. But if you'd amen it, if you believe it, if you don't, that's all right. Before there was ever a problem in the White House in America, there was a problem in the church house in America. We preachers have quit preaching the Word. We've quit defending, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. And because of that, we're losing generations of young people. Can I say it again? I'm not ashamed of my Bible. I still believe in a six-day creation. I still believe in an empty tomb. I still believe He walked on the water. I still believe a whale swallowed Jonah. I believe every bit of it, and I want to die believing every bit. If you ever slip there, that's the slippery slope. There's no telling where you will end up. Now, we looked at those judges, and I tried to show you behind their ungodly decisions, there were demons lurking in the background. We talked about a goddess named Ishtar, the goddess of sexual perversion. We talked about a god named Molech, the god of fire, to whom the heathen sacrificed little babies. We went through all of that. And we talked about the poor folks. They're down on the poor folks. They're down on the sick folks. And where in the world that comes from? That comes from this health and wealth gospel. That comes from these gods and goddesses of healing and of money and of fortune. I'm just going to say this. I'm trying to sum it up. If the gods are saying it, I don't believe it. If my Bible says it, I'm going to believe it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And now, the preachers to whom the Word of God came. The Word of God, now the preachers are involved. Follow me if you will. I'm not going to be as long tonight. I got to thinking, is there a God or a goddess that would be against the Bible? Is there a God or a goddess, I mean especially, particularly, that'd be against the preaching of the Word of God? And I was having trouble coming up with one, Ishtar or Terah. And then it dawned on me. It dawned on me. See if I get an amen. All the gods are against Scripture. All the gods are against the Lord Jesus Christ. All the gods are against the Bible. We believe, and that's not going to change us from believing it, but we need to know there's some enemies out there. Oh my goodness. That's sort of a yes and a no thing, you see. All the gods are against our God. Well, if we'll just let our God be added to their gods, and our God is one more God among their hundreds, no problem. We'll welcome your God into our pantheon. You come worship with us, and we'll just worship the gods, include yours, Christian. We'll just... But you see, I'm going to need an amen. We can't do that. We can't do that. Why can't we just say, what's the word today? Pluralism. You can't say somebody's wrong. We just have to say, we're all right. We're going to have to learn to get along together. Pluralism. I can't say that. Listen to this. Peter wrote it. For there is none other name. Singular. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Preacher, correct me if I'm wrong. And that name is Jesus. No other way. Our Lord stood one day and He said, I am... How'd that go? I am a way. That's not what He said. He's not a way. Talk about the importance of a little adjective. He's the way. Y'all get it? The way. I am the way. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And at the moment we go exclusive on them, they'll jail us. They'll martyr us. They'll hate us. They'll despise us, but I've got to stand on the fact there's one way to heaven, only one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus. I've got to stand on it, so help me God in heaven. And Jesus is trying to get that across to these preachers in His presence. Oh my, the power God invests in the preaching of that book right there. Y'all know me. I am a hick, backwoods, country preacher. By nature, I am an introvert. The night God called me to preach, or the night I made it public, He dealing with me. I walked in the aisle. Well, my pastor, he knew how backward I was. He knew how. I said, preacher, God has called me to preach. I'll never forget what He said. He said, are you sure? I thought I was sure till I got down here. Are you sure? Don't ever say that, do you? Are you sure? And yet God has given me the honor of standing in what I consider a premier pulpit in America today, but still telling the truth. And I've been able to say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. You realize the authority? You realize the power in the... I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. But I sure do work for a big God. I guess we better go to verse number 7, hadn't we? We've seen God deal with these rebels that have turned against Him. Now let's see what He says to them. I'm getting my Bible open again, and somehow it had gotten closed. But ye, here comes the sentence. God is passing judgment. The real judge is now passing judgment on the little g, little gods, little, but ye shall die like men, and you'll fall like one of the princes. I have commentaries that say, well, that verse is directed to the judges of the day. No, it isn't. That verse is directed to that crowd of angels. Some of them obviously have rebelled. They turned against God. And how do you know that? Ye shall die like men. Ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. See if anybody agrees with my logic. You don't have to say to a man, you're going to die like a man. Duh. I think he's got that figured out. Of course I'm going to die like a man. That's what I am. But if it's somebody besides a man, you're going to die like... God just said, I've got your number. I'm sick of your rebellion. I'm sick of your lies. I'm sick of you breaking the word of an almighty God. I'm sick of your hypocrisy. And I'm going to... Somebody say amen. I'm going to bring you down. Hallelujah. You shall die like men. And then somebody said this, and it ought to be, well, gods can't die. Angels can't die. I want to make it an... If God says they can die, they can die. You mark that down. God's going to gather them together one of these days. God's going to pronounce judgment upon them. And God's going to put them in a place called, I need a nod anyway, the lake of fire. The lake of fire, comma, which is the second death. Which is the second death. They're going to die like men. You're going to fall. That brought Isaiah 14 to mind. Where the devil rebelled against God. God kicked him out of heaven. And it said he fell. Same verb. He fell. Jesus said, I saw the devil falling. Falling. He fell. The devil caused us to fall. That's the whole mess we're in the Garden of Eden, the fall of man. But I got news for him. He's coming down too one of these days. He shall fall. Please smile when I tell you, God's got their number. He's going to deal with them. Let's go to that last verse. Verse number 8, if we could, please. Verse number 8. It's a prayer. Arise, O God. That is tantamount, and it's okay here. It's reverently prayer. Do something, Lord. Almost. Hurry. Lord, almost. Stand up. Arise, O God, and judge. Not just. Judge the earth. Anybody believe He's a big enough God to judge the whole earth? For thou shalt inherit the nations. That's worded that way for a reason. Could I convince you God's Word is always worded precisely and exactly like the Holy Ghost wants to? Sure. You will rule. Let me get back to my Bible, that 8th verse. For thou shalt inherit all nations. In closing, I want you to go back with me to one service earlier this week. Book of Daniel, chapter 10. mentioned it Sunday morning. We saw it a little more Sunday night. Daniel has seen a vision, but he can't figure it out. He does not know what the vision means. And he gets on his knees and he asks God, I'm going to need an amen, for God always knows what a vision means. Daniel didn't eat a bite during this time, ladies, that he's seeking God's wisdom. What does this vision mean? It's for the end time. And Daniel prayed and didn't eat for 7 days. 14 days. 18 days. I'd be starving by then. 19 days. 20. 21 days. And finally, and it happened back in that day, an angel showed up with the answer. 21 days. Finally. It's not a 21-day from heaven to earth if you got angel's wings, if you know God. And Daniel didn't ask it, but I would have. What took you so long? I'm about to starve to death. But he didn't have to ask it. The angel said, I left heaven with your answer the day you prayed. Daniel 10, verses 20 and 21, and then it comes up again a little later. But I was withstood. I was withstood in the heavens by something called the Prince of Persia. That's one of those demons. The Prince of Persia. And he withstood this angel getting the answer to Daniel for 21 days. And he says this, I wouldn't have got the answer to you now, but Michael, that's the archangel, Michael came and helped me battle the Prince of Persia. Could I just say something? Persia is Iran today. Isn't that ironic? A demonic angel holding up the plan of God and Daniel getting that message from God. All I'm trying to say, it is clear the devil's got a demon in charge of Persia. Later in that chapter, the prince of Grecia is discussed. He's got a demon head of the nation of Greece. Anybody here remember the Tower of Babel? All the nations have turned against God, and they're going to build a tower. We don't need God to get us to heaven. We're going to get there with our works. We'll build a tower to heaven. Well, God didn't like that a little bit. God interrupted, confused everyone. And I didn't notice it till this week. As soon as the nations rebelled against God, Genesis 11, God went out and got him a man named Abraham, Genesis 12. He said, if those nations don't want me, if they want their demon leaders, I'll get me Abraham. And out of Abraham, I'll give him a miracle boy named Isaac. And I'll build my own nation. I need a better amen. I'll build my own nation. Build his own nation. Y'all won't say amen, the kids will. I like it. And God began building his nation of Israel. I wouldn't be surprised, you amened it Sunday night. I wouldn't be surprised there's a demon or two trying to thwart God's will in America. Canada. Brazil. Talk about United Nations. Yeah. United under. Anybody believe the devil is the prince of the power of the air? Anybody believe he's the God of this world? Look at that last verse. Y'all put that last verse up for me again, if you will. Look what it says to God. God, arise, do your thing, judge, for thou shalt inherit. Somebody give me that last word. Thou shalt inherit all what?
nations. When He comes again, God's going to take over every nation. He's going to, y'all know what this means, boom. He's going to get them and knock them upside the head. He's going to overcome them. He's going to conquer them. They're going to die like men. They're going into the lake of fire. And Jesus is going to... Oh, somebody say amen. Jesus is going to come out on top. He'll be King of kings. He'll be Lord of lords. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And all that's left of the saved nations... Some of them are... All that's left of the saved nations of the world, they'll go up to Jerusalem. They'll bow down before Him. They'll love and adore Him. Just say amen. We're on the winning side tonight. Hallelujah. My, what a chapter. Psalm 82. Looking at God's rule and reign from the heavenly side, the angelic side. Just like the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to quit for sure. Just like the Holy Spirit is living in you right now. Anybody believes the devil is trying to fight you right now? Or he's tried to fight you today? Some demon has tried to hinder your... Yeah. It's a battle raging. Greatest battle of the ages. Going to be over one day. But until then, a good amen and I'll be through. But it's going to have to be a good one. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And how do I get faith? I said, if you'd say amen, and you did, and I'm not getting my faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Glory. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as our musicians come to the instrument. Father, thank You. We live in hopes of, trust for, that grand and glorious day when evil will be conquered. Jesus will be declared Lord of all. Lord, make us tonight, everybody, listen to me, probably not as many visitors tonight. They're in their own churches. You home folks. Fletcher first folks. As soon as they hit that first note of these beautiful instruments, God's given you a place that honors the Word. God's given you a pastoral staff that loves the Bible. Somebody come pray for Brother Roy. Brother Gunn. Somebody come pray for Brother David. God use them. God bless them. Somebody come pray. Lord, don't let us drift. Don't let us question the Word of God. Don't let us ever loosen the truth of Scripture around here. I see You coming all over the building. I wish some grandpa or granny come tonight and pray for a grandson. Pray for a granddaughter. Oh, how the devil's gunning for our young people. Oh, God. God, reach out and touch them. God, do something in their lives. Don't cut off communication. Love them. Keep talking. Keep them talking. But oh, keep praying. These precious young folks tonight, they've listened well. Oh my, they may not, some of them be old enough to understand, but if y'all will keep loving them, these dear workers keep sharing the truth, they'll be born again, they'll be saved through the ministry of the good Holy Ghost. Somebody personal. Talked about the church. Talked about the grandkids. Somebody personally. Use this altar tonight. God, keep me in the Word. God, don't let me listen to the insinuations and the doubts of the world. Give me a rock, solid faith in Your book.
Thus saith the Lord. Oh God, grant it. Grant it, we beg and pray. Every night you've come to this altar. Every night I see someone wiping away tears. Every night I sense the presence of the good Holy Spirit of God. There's a spirit world out there. There's a battle raging. 30 more seconds. Revelation chapter 12. They're fighting the enemy. They're fighting the demons. And they overcame him. Somebody say amen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm reading and studying about this. And I know the devil's fighting. So I went, got my iPad, tried to find every song I could about the blood of Jesus. While I'm reading about this wicked crowd, they're singing about the blood right there in the room. Take that. The devil can't handle the blood of the Lamb. Come on, preacher, if you will. God bless y'all.
Yes.
If you will. Somebody in the back, get me a rough idea of how many people are in. Jason, would you do that? Just a rough head count. How many people are in the building? Would somebody do that for me, please? Thank you. All right. One finger up means you've read it 10 times. 2 means 20. We'll count it real quick. Girls, get a 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 11, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, 19, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 14, 16, 17 more, all right, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 13, excellent, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 26, 28, 29, 30, 34, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, and there's something, 41, 42, 43, 45, 45, honey. Y'all realize that's 450 chapters? Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, way to go, fellas. 10, 11, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21. I got it. 22, 23. Add mine, honey. 24. I'm coming. Jason, put your fingers. 3, 4, 4. 10. We're up to 14, 19, 22, 23, 24, 25. And this, all right. 25 over there. And devil, give me the total for tonight. Then I can't wait to add up and see what we have. Here's my survey. Won't take a second of time. When we dismiss, I'm going to have a big red pen in my hand. And I'm going to chase down as many of you as I can before you get out of here. And you will say, which sermon? I've labeled them. Which sermon stood out to you? Which sermon did you learn the most? Which sermon did God use to shake you up a little bit? Sort of augment your prayer life. They'll do that. And if you can't narrow it down to one, see what I'm going to do. I'll give you 2 votes. And that way... And you say, why do you do that? So I look back over these verses. This is new to me. I don't know I'll ever preach this again. Only if God gives a green light. But I can look back over the verses and see what area, what part of the psalm God used the most. Jason, son, Give me the total. One, honey, add 164 more. Go say, I read it to everybody. 164 more. Amen. 1,484 times tonight. Did y'all know it's gone up? Every time we've counted, 1,484. That gives us a grand total of 4,367 times. Really, that's four times through the Bible. The equivalent of four times through the Word of God in a short series of meetings. Isn't God good? I want to thank you for being a kind, patient congregation. Preacher, we've gotten emails and texts from the church family this week. Just precious words of encouragement. We love you. We thank you. Preacher, I thank you for the honor of getting to come and stand. He's one of my heroes. Stand in the pulpit of one of God's choice men. I'll have this and I'll be milling around in the back. Y'all help me if you will.